G'day, I'm Scott Sanders, the Executive Director of the Geneva Push, and I've got the very experienced church planner, Derek Hanna, with me today.
Just so you know, he's having a bit of a dig at me there, but yes, I am Derek Hanna, and it's good to join you, mate.
Well, welcome to The One Thing, a podcast designed to give you one solid practical tip for gospel-centered ministry every week. This is our first one, the first episode.
Ooh.
The One Thing is a podcast that's designed for us to have a rant, for us to answer your questions. It's brought to you by Geneva Push, the Australian Church Planting Network, and you've pressed play on episode one, and that's Convictions Driving Direction. We're all convicted that the gospel is the most important information a human being could ever hear. The great news, the good news that Christ died once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. When it comes to ministry, though, conviction isn't enough. We often talk about character, conviction, and competencies, particularly as people are thinking about their Christian life, or as we help people think through whether or not they should be a church plant or they should start a church plant. Now, we'll talk about a lot of that in our future podcast, but today we're just going to hone in on this idea of being driven by convictions. Derek, tell us a little bit about your story.
Okay, look, yeah, I'm from Sydney originally. I live in Brisbane now. I moved up there about 11 years ago or so. I moved there to work in a church, and I planned a church after working in the morning as an associate for a couple of years. I planned one in the evening near the city called Village Church. I think for me, I'm someone who's always struggled with kind of clear boundaries and people who want to tell me to do stuff, and that's not an admirable trait necessarily, but one of the ways in which I think it is helpful is, particularly in what I did in planning, I've always been discontent with church for church people, just when it's kind of insular. And one of the moments that happened with me a number of years ago, when Driscoll came out, when he was the flavour of the month, and he came to Brisbane, I was organising the event, and I had a lunch with him, and he kind of pushed a few buttons in me as I was working in a morning service, just making me think, there is a whole world out there that doesn't hear the gospel and won't hear the gospel unless the church does something in order to take it to them. And so, I planned a Village Church.
After a Driscoll moment, you had your Driscoll moment.
I did have my Driscoll moment, which
he spoke to you in your bedroom.
Yes, he did. It was quite weird. Look, plants aren't the only things that reach people, and there's lots of churches who do church well for non-church people. But for me, plants reach people who are unchurched much more effectively, and that was my experience.
Well, hopefully next time we're going to hear a little bit about Jack and the three boys as well. But what's the one thing for this week?
Yeah. Okay. So look, here's my thing. The one thing today. I think this is where I want to push. You can't just be convicted by what God's word says. Of course, you have to be, and that's where we start. It's a foundation for all things. But it's not just about what God's word says. We need to be convicted in the same way, in the same direction as God's word points. That's my one thing.
So let's push into that then. We believe the Bible is how God speaks, but what, there's more?
Yeah, well, no. I don't want to say there's more. I'm not saying some kind of extra, special revelation, but this... I'm particularly talking to people who lead churches here that if you're going to be stepping into leadership, there is this underlying missional conviction that has to shape what we do, because that's the underlying shape or direction of the Bible. That's where it's flowing, it's driving. It's not everything the Bible says. It's important to say that. I'm not saying it's every, counsel of God here, but when we don't understand the direction or the drive that history is heading towards, there's this danger that you can have a biblical conviction, have lots of biblical convictions that don't necessarily gel with the arc of biblical history.
So often we might see, someone, I guess, just sort of hitting copy and paste on someone else's convictions or someone else's, church mission, vision statement. Mm. There is a generic set or a set of biblical convictions that we all need to have, but you're saying it needs to actually push you out towards, making disciples and actually seeing the mission of God, happen, eventuate, and occur. Can you give us an example?
Yeah, look, that's right. I think there are a whole bunch of biblical convictions, I said, that you can and should hold. The things that I'm going to mention six a little bit later, kind of missional convictions. They're not all the convictions the Bible has, but they are what I think where the Bible's driving. But there is this missional arc, It's possible to run a church and lead a church where you are biblical and each week you open the Bible and you preach from it, but you have no eye to the outsider, the lost. You have no eye to what God is doing in the world, the fact that he's calling people to himself. The whole thing is self-referential. It's all about us here.
So there's no outward focus.
Yeah.
There is no picture of the tribes standing around the throne of God,
yes,
all giving worship and glory to Jesus.
Yep.
There's no Revelation 7:9 there.
Absolutely.
And we're not pushing for that in Brisbane, I think, where there's a couple of people from around the world, but largely rednecks up in Brisbane.
Oh,
is that fair to say?
Oh, please. No, it's not fair to say at all. Thank you very much. Not in any way. No, but I hear what you're saying, even amidst your rudeness. Yeah, yeah. It's easy to preach the Bible each week, but not get where the Bible's going. Yep.
Great. Well, I'm just going to hold you up. I want to hear more about those six core convictions. Derek is going to help us think through that in a moment. But maybe the sort of person who, like me, wants more than 15 minutes of input into this topic. And so that brings me to something that we're going to be doing every week. It's going to be a regular part of the One Thing podcast, and that's the One Thing Toolbox. Each week we're going to highlight a few great resources for you to spend a little bit more time reflecting, looking into, and helping you actually live out, practice, put into place that one thing that we've spoken about. So this week, here's two great resources for thinking through gospel convictions. The first one is just a little paper that Kathy Hurd has prepared on gospel convictions for our coaching network. What's helpful about it is she's really fleshed out in a lot more detail these six convictions that we're going to talk about and how they should shape your ministry.
Yeah, she's got Kathy and Craig Tucker put together a huge amount of resources for coaches, and this gospel conviction one is great. It's good.
The second one is it's a resource that we can't manufacture. It's the Mark Driscoll-like conversation. I've had a couple of those. I weren't, with Mark Driscoll like Derek had the opportunity to have. But with key people in our life, those key moments where we actually stop, reflect, think, and they actually push us out.
Mm.
Christian leaders, can I encourage you? You need to be having those conversations with young guys. You need to be sitting down and actually giving them a bigger vision than what they have in and of them of themselves.
Yeah.
They need to be seeing, I guess, what God is doing in the world and how they can be a part of that.
It feels awkward, like, to give you a resource out there to say you're the resource, you have to go and have the conversation. But that's the most influential thing for people. Lots of people read stuff, but those moments are often that one-on-one conversation, that relationship, where you might feel awkward trying to change the course of someone's life and call them out of a professional relationship, professional work or whatever they're in, to go and pursue something which they'll never earn much money in and which will be hard and painful. But actually, that's the arc of the Bible. That's the eternal calling.
We need people to go to Brisbane and plant churches.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, I want to come back to gospel convictions. Derek, it'd be really helpful if you can start articulating some of those key convictions.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Look, there's six of them, or as the people I stole them from, they say he says 5 plus 1, and that's how Kathy in her toolkit, you'll see it, 5 plus 1, it's great. Okay, here's the first one. There is a heaven and hell. So there's this reality that people into eternity are going to spend their eternity in one of two places, a heaven and a hell. We have to believe that, and we have to be convicted by it, because it's what the Bible says. And it should shape our interactions with individuals, but also with how we think about leadership in the church.
Now, you hear this often taught about or thought about in the context of preaching, but you're saying that we need to think about that in the context of the whole of life and also the whole of church.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Like, it needs to shape our structures, our thinking, as well as just our preaching from the front, that there is an eternity waiting for people in one of two places. Yep.
What's the second thing?
Here's the second one. The second one is the fact of the cross. That is that Jesus came and he died and he was resurrected. And that moment on the cross is the only way that people are reconciled to God. And that moment where he rose from the dead is the hope for all mankind, that there is hope past death. And so we have to believe that the cross is the only way that people can be reconciled to Christ, to God. So we need to preach Jesus, and we can't deviate from it. That is a missional conviction. That's got to be the center of what we do.
I think I was listening to Sam Chan the other day, and he kind of nutted down the gospel into three words, which you see a number of times in the New Testament. Christ is Lord.
Mm. Yep, absolutely.
Now the pushback on that was, well, it doesn't mention the cross. Sam was making the comment, oh, well, it's kind of implicit, isn't it? He's Lord because he demonstrates his lordness in the resurrection, in actually rising from the dead. And he dies because, well, he needs to die the death that we couldn't die for ourselves. But it is necessary, isn't it, the cross, the fact of the cross as a historical event. You know, more and more we need to be pointing people back towards the historical reality of the cross as well.
Yeah, and look, I just, you know, do you really want to die the death of a thousand qualifications?
No, I don't. I don't want to die the death of a thousand
qualifications. We want to preach the gospel. Anyway, okay, third one.
I do want to die, though. I do want to die at some stage. I'm looking forward to heaven. Yep. Biblical vision.
All right, okay, biblical vision. This is a Revelation 5 thing you were saying before. There is a vision for where history is heading towards, and we are going to that Revelation picture. We're going to the Colossians 1 picture. All things are being brought under Christ. That is where history is heading, whether it looks like it or not. We know from the beginning of time to the end of time, it is all under the control of God. He is sovereign. And so there is a biblical vision that we have to buy into as we think about our ministry.
And, I mean, this is a little bit different to God is sovereign, God is in charge. But in some ways, it's encapsulating that as well.
Absolutely, yeah. All those things are underpinning and informing how we do this. And so we don't think we're in control. We're part of a greater narrative, which is God's narrative. And so sometimes, you know, things will not go the way we want, but they always go the way God wants. And so we need to grapple with that.
The fourth one.
Okay, fourth one is a brevity of life, and you'll be pleased to hear this from your comment before. You know, we have a short span on this earth. We have a short span. And so that doesn't mean, again, if we're understanding from our other biblical convictions, it doesn't mean that we have to spend every single moment of our life working. Although in some sense we're always working, you know, for the Lord, but we aren't in control of all the outcomes. But we do want to make this life count, and we know that other people only have a brief span as well, and so we need to be really deliberate about how we use our life and how we see other people as well.
So this year's multiple conference is called Urgent. There needs to be an urgency about gospel proclamation. The fifth one.
Okay, this is love. And, you know, when we were talking this before.
It's nice, isn't it? Love.
Yeah, it is nice. But this is a John 3:16 love, that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. So whosoever should believe in him won't perish but have eternal life. This is love, that we want to love people because we have first been loved. And so we have to have that sense of not looking at people thinking, aren't they bad? We need to say, they're just like us, but for the grace of God. And that love needs to ooze out of us as we deal with people, how we talk about things, how we set stuff up at church, how we structure church.
Our communities. I mean, the reality is God is love, and Christians are meant to be a loving and community, but the reality is we're not seen like that before. The final one then. So these five plus one, what's the final?
Here's the five plus. Here's where it goes. Therefore, go and make disciples. That's where it has to drive. Therefore, call people back to God. Be reconciled to God in Christ. That's what we're calling people. That Matthew 28 is the tip of the iceberg, where the whole of history is driving towards calling people back to God. That has to be a gospel conviction for us. It has to be the direction that we drive in, because it is the direction that the Bible is driving in.
And that command in of go, you know, going, make disciples, just makes so much more sense in the context of those five convictions.
Yep.
So look on the show notes, particularly grab that resource that Kathy's put together. Now, this is the one thing. We're coming to the end of the show. So, Derek, what's the one thing people should be taking away when it comes to gospel convictions?
You can't just be convicted by what the Bible says. You need to be convicted about the direction it's driving us.
If you want to find out more about Geneva Push, about this resource, the One Thing podcast, jump on the website, genevapush.com.au. We've just relaunched the website recently. In particular, we've put a few new pathways on the website. So if you're a church planner, there's a section for you and you want to find out what it takes to plant a church. If you're a church that's interested in planting a church, there's a whole pathway with videos and helpful resources that can help you as a church start a daughter church or send a church planner out. GenevaPush.com.au, check it out. Thanks for joining us for another episode of The One Thing. Coming up in our next episode,
we are going to talk about launching strong.
Well, I'm going to rant for about 15 minutes.
Gold.
About absolutely everything you need to know about launching strong.
All right. I'll look forward to that. That will be interesting.
I'm Scott Sanders.
I'm Derek Hanna.
Chat soon.